Lesson can be found in the book of Isaiah, reading from chapter 9, from verse 1 to verse 6. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation, increased their joy. They rejoice before you, as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the days of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burns them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is the word of God.
Passages in the whole of the Old Testament that teaches us about the coming of Jesus. You will remember that Isaiah wrote these words nearly 700 years before Jesus even came. They are prophetical in every way, and here is a prophet under the inspiration of God telling a lost world of how the Messiah is going to come. In these verses, chapter 9 of Isaiah, and verses 1 to 7, the Messiah is given four titles. He is called the Wonderful Counselor. He is called the Mighty God. He is called the Everlasting Father. And he is called the Prince of Peace. And over the next four Sunday mornings, I'd like you to come with me as we focus on those four things together. The purpose, friend, is going to be that you and I at Christ Church Pinetown may again see Jesus at the very center of our celebrations. I hope that many of you are going to come with us on Wednesday night. Don't stay at home. We're having a carol service at the pavilion. I believe the pavilion is packed every day at the moment. We want to go there as a church and share the most wonderful news in the world with the visitors at the pavilion. Wednesday night at 7, we're going to be telling them about Jesus. And so during December, we'll focus on Jesus as the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Just for a moment, the background to those amazing verses. The darkness of Israel and Judah must be remembered when you come to Isaiah chapter 9. In the previous 8 chapters, friends, Isaiah often refers to the conditions in which they were living. He tells us in chapter 2 that it was a society riddled with superstitions. It was a society governed by materialism. It was a society of idolatry and of arrogance. In chapter 3, it was a society that lacked good leadership. In chapter 6, there was a social disintegration running throughout the province. It was a society of sensuality and alcoholism in chapter 13. And the final years of Israel's monarchy were a period of political uncertainty. Kings like Shalom and Menahem were quickly assassinated. Religion had become syncretistic. Religion was a mixture of every conceivable practice from the Canaanites, from the Assyrians, from the Egyptians. There was cultic prostitution practiced at various shrines in order to appease the sexual appetites of the gods. Friends, when you put that thing together, You get a picture of what Israel was like in the time of Isaiah the prophet. There were days of darkness, and there were days of doom and despair. I may share this with you, friends. Every one of those characteristics is a mark of our society. Everyone. Forgive me if it comes across in the wrong way. But you know, 100,000 people turned out yesterday for a funeral of a man whose example was not always the best. It was a shattering thing for me to learn. One admired phenomenally his skills. As a man, there's a lot to learn. The danger of alcoholism, the danger of materialism, the danger of sensuality and idolatry. Exactly what Isaiah is writing here. So what does Isaiah say to them? This is our world. This is our society. Let me tell you that there's somebody coming. His name is going to be Emmanuel. He's going to come. And when he comes, he's going to be a wonderful counselor. The mighty God. The everlasting Father. And the Prince of Peace. This morning for you, I want us now to have a look at the first title given to him. The Wonderful Counselor. To our society today, and if I may suggest that, to some of you sitting in the pews, Jesus is a wonderful counselor. May he minister to all our hearts and hurts and bitterness and grief this morning. What do we learn about Jesus, the wonderful counselor? Three things. Number one, I want you to notice the attributes of our wonderful counselor. What are his attributes? Why does Isaiah tell us that he is the wonderful counselor? Well, there are two, aren't there, friends? Two terrific attributes of Jesus. Number one, he is full of wisdom. It tells us in Colossians in chapter 2 and verse 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom. People searching for truth today, searching for reality today, searching for purpose, searching for wisdom. We say to them, my dear friend, he has come. Jesus is full of wisdom. James tells us in chapter 3 that the wisdom that is from above is first of all pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, full of good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. What a contrast to so much of the earthly, sensual, devilish wisdom of our world. I want you today, friend, to turn to Jesus, full of wisdom. When you turn to our Jesus, he always speaks peace into troubled hearts. As you follow him throughout the Gospels, you find Jesus often using that expression, go in peace. His last words to his disciples were, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Whenever you see Jesus, You find him full of wisdom that James speaks about, a wisdom that is gentle. He portrayed the most approachable personality of any man who's ever lived. He was the perfect gentleman. His enemies admitted that. Sin-sick souls crowded around him. Little children came under his arms. He was so gentle. So full of mercy to people. Not only does he forgive our sin and regenerate us by his Spirit, but in the place of hatred, he puts love. In the place of sorrow, he puts joy. In the place of unrest, he puts peace. The wonderful counselor friend this morning is full of wisdom, gentle and full of mercy. What's his second attribute? He is full of knowledge. He is full of knowledge. The wonderful counselor knows not only all about us, but he has the answers to our problems. And in the knowledge of the gospel, there is a solution to every single problem in life. George Mueller was one of the greats in the past, as you have heard, I'm sure. And preaching on this verse, he said this: remind the Lord Jesus Christ that he is counselor to the church of God. He will be in your particular case, both counselor and guide. He will direct you. And if you wait believingly and expectantly, you will find that the waiting is not in vain. The Lord will always prove himself to be a counselor who is wise and he is good. Often people phone and say, where can I go? Who will help me? We say to our world at this Christmas time, dear friend, there he is. His name is Jesus. He is the wonderful counselor, full of wisdom and full of knowledge. Secondly, can I show you the attractiveness of the wonderful counselor? We've seen his attributes. Now let's have a look at the attractiveness of Jesus. You've all read time and time again of that lovely story where the Queen of Sheba came from far away to test the wisdom of Solomon and to see if he really did possess all that people said he possessed. And at the end of her visit, all that she could say is, you didn't even tell me half. We say to people, we've got a far greater than Solomon. Far greater. In Mark 1, it tells me that they came to Jesus from every quarter. He was so attractive. Notice three things about his attractiveness. The first thing that strikes you about Jesus is that he attracted people wherever they are. Wherever they are, they are attracted to Jesus. It is a fact that Christianity has never failed to strike root wherever the gospel has been worthily preached, because Jesus appeals to people wherever they are. He comes to the CEO of some of the great firms of our world with all their power and all their money, and he appeals and he attracts those men and women to come to him. But you know what? He attracts the people that live out in the rural areas that have got nothing. Nothing. That's the incredible thing about the attractiveness of Jesus. He attracts people wherever they are. Secondly, He attracts people whoever they are. Men came to Jesus. You know, there are not many men like Jesus. In fact, there are none. He would walk past Matthew the tax collector and say to Matthew, "Follow me," and he would leave everything and follow Jesus. Came to the fishermen and would say to them, "Follow me," and they left everything to follow Jesus. Men followed Christ. Women followed Christ. Mary Magdalene and Salome and all of those ladies in the Gospels, they loved Jesus. There was an attractiveness about His character and His forgiveness. Boys and girls loved Him. They loved Him. He would pick up the boys and girls and throw them in the air and love them. Oh, it's going to be terrific. I hope and pray, friends, having Pam with us next year to help us with children. We want children. Children are wonderful and precious. They bring their parents. They bring their friends. Jesus attracted people wherever they were. He attracted people whoever they were. And thirdly, you notice about His attractiveness that He attracted people whatever they were. There was no partiality with Jesus. Whatever they were, tax collectors, fishermen, housewives, Pharisees, terrorists. I know of a world, He wrote, that is lost and lone, where hearts often faint and tire. I know of a name, a precious name, that can set the world on fire. Its name is sweet. Its letters flame. I know of a name, a precious name. It's Jesus, the wonderful Counselor. His attributes, His attractiveness. Just lastly, number three, His ability. His ability. And I want you, as we come to this last point, to notice two things about Jesus and His ability. You know, the first thing that strikes you is that He has the ability to analyze the condition of every single person. Think, for example, of the theological professor who came to Jesus one day. And he comes and he says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. No one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus doesn't hear that. He looks beyond that and he looks right into the heart of that man. It was a hot day like we had yesterday. He was at the well and a woman came to the well. Jesus got speaking to her. She would never have told Jesus about her past. She had already been married to 5 men and she was living in sin with another one. And Jesus says to her, "Come call your husband." You see, He analyzes and has the ability to see right into the condition of whether you're a theological professor or a person riddled with guilt from the past. What about a man who suffered from an infirmity for 38 years and he comes to Jesus wanting physical healing, but that wasn't his greatest need? I want you to know, dear friends, that Jesus has the ability to see your condition. But number two, He has the ability to correct you. He comes to Nicodemus. He says to you, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You see, that's Jesus, friends. The wonderful counselor. He doesn't only analyze the condition. He has the ability to say, no, that's what you must do. To the woman at the well, he didn't only analyze her condition. He says to her, go and call your husband. I haven't got a husband. Yes, I know that. And he leads her on to say, come and drink from the water that I'll give you. Woman, wonderfully cleansed, forgiven. To the man with the infirmity for 38 years, Jesus said to him, do you want to be made well? And he deals with the man. You see, my friends, Jesus, the wonderful counselor, has the ability not only to analyze the condition, but to apply the corrective to every one of our lives. I've tried to share with you today that 700 years before he was born, Isaiah said, there's somebody coming. He's a wonderful counselor. Showing you his ability, his attractiveness, and his attributes. Now just for a moment, can I try and apply that to our lives? And then we're finished. The first thing I want to say, if I may, as your brother, are there some of us sitting here this morning, and this is the person that we've got to meet with today? Because as you sit in this magnificent church building, your life may be riddled with guilt over what's happened in the past, or maybe with bitterness for whatever has happened in your life, or for whatever anybody has said to you or done to you. Or there are broken relationships in your life. I want to say to you, my dear friend, come. Come today to the wonderful counselor. Allow him to cleanse you of any sin, to restore you to any lost condition. My last service at Maritzburg, the most wonderful thing happened. One person came to me, who had been coming for many years, regular at Bible studies and all that, and I waited for everybody to go, and with tears said, I want you to pray with me before you go. I don't love Jesus today like I loved him 15 years ago when I was converted. I said, come, let's go. Let's go to Jesus, the wonderful counselor. It's not easy for me to say the second one, but will you allow me to do that? Mary and I arrive here today as your servants and as your friend. All sorts of things have happened this year, and I just want today to put an end to all that's happened. And for today to be the beginning of a new day. How do we do that? We come to the wonderful counselor. And we want to say, Lord, Why don't you bring me back to Christ? Forgive me for all my words that I've said that haven't been loving and caring. All my thoughts, I want to put those down. And I want to walk out of the church today clean and right. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, it's just a reminder that we are fallen people in a broken world. But thank you for that wonderful reminder that Jesus is today a wonderful counselor. And I pray that you will bring healing to all of us, cleansing to all of us. And I pray that you will help us to walk into a new day with Christ. Please help Mary and I to serve these dear people with love and grace. And may, Lord, together we draw near to you. And we pray for the carol service on Wednesday at the pavilion, that we may be able to help some troubled souls find Christ. Keep your hand of rich blessing upon each one, and especially upon our church. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus, the wonderful Counselor. Amen.